I'd use your sword well this morning, Father God. I'd use it well in your precious name. Amen. It would be really easy to preach something else this morning, and you're always sensing what God wants to do. And I was really encouraged because somebody, I didn't look at the time last night or this morning, sent me a podcast, not knowing what I was going to speak on. I didn't really have a catchy title. I wasn't really in that space. So I just said to Audrey, I'm just going to bring the Word of God. And I can't think of a title. What's it about? Oh, I don't know. But somebody sent me a podcast through of what I'm going to speak on this morning. So that was really encouraging. And then Marilyn's picture of using the sword, I think that's so true. And we need to use it. And we need to use it well. So this morning I hope to deliver truth to you. You can use truth good, or you can use it poorly. So I hope this morning we'll use the truth that we speak well. We may do this at the end, but actually that's just a perfect place to finish on, that I surrender all. This was another song we talked about doing. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands everything of me. Aren't they great songs? Yeah, you're looking at me funny. No, we did. Yeah, have I got the words? I thought I better check. It's the right around. Is it soul, life, all? I didn't check, so somebody might say it's the other way around. Ah, it's good. And aren't they such good songs? And I'm just there this morning as we sang that song, and as Penny encouraged us, don't just sing the words because they're so easy to sing. I just wanted to weep. Well, I did, and I just had that time to, Lord, this is so good. This is so good. And it reminded me of Revelation 10:9. And John is talking and he sees this book. And the angel says, John, I want you to pick up the book. Revelation 9:9-10. Yes. And he says, I want you to eat the book. And the book will be sweet in your mouth. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all. I mean, this morning, it just felt so sweet. I'm just there. I'm yes. I just want to give you my whole life. I don't want to hold anything back. But then you see in Revelations, it says, but you know, it'll be bitter in your stomach. And we're here this morning. At least I'm here. My experience this morning was, yes, Lord, I just want to give you my whole life. But actually, to work it out is bitter. It's wonderful in this moment when we're eating it, when the Holy Spirit is moving. I don't know about you, but I was having a wonderful time with the Holy Spirit. And Katie's prayer was just like, yes, I just want to be in your arms, Lord. I just want to submit everything. And then we try and work it out. It's different. Because I don't know about you, but I actually think I'm quite right. And I kind of got all that I think sorted, and my perspective is right, unless you have a really good point, and then I might have to think about it again. Because otherwise, perhaps I wouldn't be the way I am being if I didn't think at some point it was all right. But when God starts to reveal stuff, I mean, God will take that song that you've just sang, if you sung it with the right heart, it'll say, okay, let's do it. And then Revelation says, oh my goodness, it means this. It means this in my life. It means this in my life. And it's challenging. The challenge that I have found in myself and in hearing and listening to others, what they have to say, is that sometimes I'm not sure we really mean it. It's a nice song and all, but I don't really expect it to cost me anything that I'm not actually prepared to give. Giving everything to Christ will cost. It will cost. Sacrifice. The problem is, I'm not sure it's much of a sacrifice if it didn't cost me anything. 2 Samuel 24, King David is saying, he says, no, I insist on paying for it, lest I give something to God that hasn't cost me anything. And so, how do we live our lives? If we can nod to that, if we can agree with that, how do we respond when we're not sure about something? Hang on, this doesn't feel right. this isn't the God I'm expecting to hear about. This isn't the God I think. I didn't expect it to cost me. And right now you may be thinking about the most costly thing you've got in your home. Well, I could give that away. We've all heard the story of brand new coats, and you see the homeless person that needs the coat. I could do that. And actually, that might be a real sacrifice. But it goes deeper than things. It goes into the sacrifice of the heart. It goes deeper and deeper than material stuff. Matthew 6 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. No, God is more interested in the things that cost me in here. Oh man, I'm still just going through that. It's still sweet in the mouth. I give you all. So we've come to the text this morning. And when I told a few people about what I was going to speak on this morning, their response was, that sounds a cheery subject, Ben. That sounds a really cheery subject. And I get it, and as I said, it'd be so easy not to preach this morning. But when do we talk about difficult subjects? Right now you're thinking, do I stay, do I go? Yeah? My child that's now 12 needs me upstairs. And there was no reason why I didn't put the title. I didn't have a catchy title. But when do we talk about things that cost? Do we flag it to everybody? This morning, we're going to talk about something that's going to cost. I know, well, I'd be hitting Kim. The weather's nice. So here's our text for this morning. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 7. Out of the New King James, it reads this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort there are those who creep into households, making captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. See, I've been preparing a word on holiness, but every time it comes up, something gets in the way. A few weeks ago, Richard shared. And out of what he shared, it made me want to bring the sermon back then that I was going to bring today. So back then was holiness. So this morning I thought, well, I'll do holiness this morning. And I just got stuck on this topic. And maybe this is holiness part one. I don't know. But this is Timothy. This is Paul writing to Timothy, a church leader, about the end times. I could have called it the end times. You'd have all come then. Yeah. And I'm really interested about what Revelation really means and all the signs and stuff. But actually, I'm more concerned about how I should live in the end times rather than what will happen. And I can get really caught up in what will happen because I find it fascinating. But I'm more concerned about how I should live in the end times. That word, perilous, that word, perilous, means, is actually in the Greek, halipas. Can you say that? Halipas. Ready, you got it? Again, I'm really into halipas. And it means, it's like, thanks. It means hard to do, to take, to approach, hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce, savage. But know this, that in the last days, harsh, fierce, savage things will come. The Amplified says, but understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come, difficult days that will be hard to bear. That's the Amplified. Paul then goes on to list 19 characteristics. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, blasphemers, deceitful of parents, unthankful. I looked at that a bit deeper, but it means presumptuous. I expect to get it. I have a right. I have a right. Unholy, loving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, having a form of godliness, but denying God's power. We read this list and we can nod our heads because we see it in the world. Yep, we see it. We see the proud. And do you know, there's two types of proud because the word evolves. Proud that's wrong that says, I'm better than you. When I'm proud of my son, it becomes wrong if I say, my son is better than your son. But I can be proud of my son for who he is and how he tries. Just a side point. We read this list and we nod our heads. We've seen all of this out there in the world, but here's the rub. Paul isn't talking about the world. What is terrible, what is tragic, is he's talking about the church. Here's how I think it's the case. Verse 5 tells us, from such people turn away. The NIV picks it up like this, have nothing to do with people who practice that list. And there's a spirit there that's behind all of those things. I'm thinking, gosh, I was disobedient to my parents. Have nothing to do with me. There's a spirit that's behind it. And Paul says it shows itself in these things. 2 Corinthians 5, when Paul is dealing with the matter of sexual immorality, he says to the church to keep away from them. But then he says, I didn't mean of the world. I meant of the church. Here is he saying, have nothing to do with people of that spirit. It can't be of the world. Or 1 Corinthians, he says, where would we go? Where would we go? It's of the church. It's of the church. It's of the church. He starts with lovers of self. Four different commentators talk about this being the funnel that everything else comes through. He says it starts here because actually an unhealthy focus on self, a love of self, actually leads on to all of those other things. I started to panic. Because a few years ago, and it's still right now, and it's written in our fuller vision, the scripture, Mark 12, 29 to 31. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You should love the Lord. Your greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. We said that's love God completely. Love others extravagantly, and love myself intentionally. So I think, Lord, was I wrong? Because if I'm wrong, I've got to put it right. Because we told the whole church, are we wrong? And do you know what? God leads us when we don't know. Because I did, I said, Lord, I'm prepared to say I've got it wrong. We need to change the documents with the vision is. He says, Ben, you talked intentionally, love yourself. And there's a right way to love yourself. He gave me an analogy. So, and I'm using me, and this is based in truth, but to make it a bit more fun, I've stretched it. So we have to have a bit of fun. And if it's at my expense, then that's okay. Don't say anything. So I just need to lose some weight. Yeah? I just simply do. And I should get on and do it. But, you know, I need to also love myself. And where loving myself becomes right, the story goes, and when I realise I've got to do something about it, is some friends of ours who were not like me, who looked pretty good. Hi, Lee's family, do you want to come swimming? Do you know what went through my mind? Yeah, right. But what came out of my mouth? Yeah, of course, when? I learned. When you're not too keen or you want to do something, you ask when. Well, this afternoon, Claire, we've got that thing, haven't we, Claire? I don't want to go swimming with these friends who look great when I look like this. What happens when I go abroad and my kids are having fun in the sea and I don't go in because I feel bad about myself? See, I'm losing out spending time with my kids because of the way I feel about me. I need to understand how God sees me as his son. And that no matter how I am, he loves me no matter what. Now, you see, I need to do something about this. But actually, if I don't do something about this before this, when I get this gone, I'm covering up that there's a deeper issue. And I don't really know how God sees me. And therefore, I panic when I've lost this. I panic when I have a curry. I love curries. And I'm already thinking about what I've got to do tomorrow to make sure I don't get back to this. That's not loving myself. And there's a loving of self that's good. I need to intentionally work out loving myself. Lord, thank you, Lord. I tell you, I was prepared to say, guys, we've got to change the vision. It's wrong. We've got to intentionally be free from those hang-ups. Yeah? Now I've said it from the front, I'm going to have to get rid of this now. I need to do something about this. Somebody said, Ben, you didn't have to say that. I'm okay, you see. See, because I've also got another friend who's just like me. And he would have no problem going in the sea, yeah, with briefs on. And he's having great fun with his kids. I'm not quite enjoying it the same way, you know. But he's having great fun with his kids while I'm not. Because actually I'm not free in here. And I don't really love me. Whereas he's just having some great fun. We both need to do something about this. We both need to do something about this. So that isn't the lovers of self that God is talking about. It's the lover of self that puts me at the forefront, that puts my desires, my wants, my rights first of all. And it's the funnel that all the other things come from. So sociologists are saying that we are now the most narcissistic generation since records began. I had to look at what the word meant. Yeah? Oh, I didn't put it in. Narcissistic, having or showing an excessive interest in or admiration of oneself, one's opinions, one's thoughts, and one's physical appearance. You think, I don't get it. No. Go back 15 years, and if you were to say to yourself, in 2017, 2 billion people a month will be caught up posting on a website page stuff about themselves, you'd go, no, never happen. But 2 billion people a month use social media, where we think that our opinion, our thoughts on religion, church, politics, really, we need the world to hear our thoughts on this. Someone's going to say, Ben, I don't use it for that. I know, but a lot do. But who'd have thought it? 2 billion people a month. Let me show you about me. Let me tell you what's going on in my life. Now, just like the sword, it can be used well and it can be used badly. Lovers of self. And you see, when you're a lover of self, it leads on. You become a lover of money and a lover of pleasure. The one leads to the other. We've heard about consumerism. But have you stopped and thought about whether you're being sucked into it? In 2016, The Guardian reported, now you've just thought about, well, I don't know what I think about there, Guardian. The Guardian reported that through London, on one 45-minute journey, you see 139 adverts for 80 different products, of which we take in about 40 to 45. Over the course of a day, we receive on average 3,000 marketing messages a day, all telling you that you need this product to make your life whole and complete. In an environment that says you are the most important thing in the world. We could talk lots about how the changing things, you do what's right for you. What was the change in vow of Scouts? That I will be true to myself. And on the face of it, we go, yeah. But hang on. That Whitney Houston song, probably more than 20 years ago, the greatest love of all, is loving myself. And all the time we're bombarded with this. This morning I want you just to think. Maybe you're okay with this, but I feel myself getting swept away with some of these things. And I sit down and I realize, gosh, Lord, I've got to fight against some of this. I've got to stand against some of this. This thinking is invading my thoughts. Unholy. People aren't worried about being holy. Perhaps it's because it's simply too hard to do and no one is really holy anyway. People are concerned about being good. The trouble is God's standard of good will lead you to holy. We instead go with what society says is good, which tends to be popular opinion. Do you know that the purpose God created you before even the foundations of the world was put in place was that you would be holy? Ephesians 1:45, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. before him in love. First Peter quotes Leviticus, renewing the mind, renewing the commandments. Because we don't like Leviticus, because there's some really strange stuff in there. So whenever we quote it, we go, well, that's just strange. But Peter here renews the command, be holy as I am holy. And it's the God's standard of holy. I surrender all. Sometimes I need to bring a paper Bible. It doesn't quite do the same when I hold up the iPad. Sometimes I read things in this book and I don't like them. I don't like it. It doesn't sit easy with me. It doesn't sit well. But I've made a decision that actually I'm wrong and not it. I've made a decision that I just don't need to find a different interpretation of Greek that will make it fit okay. Because we can do that. I'm uncomfortable sometimes with what this book says, but I will bend my will to it. Why? Because I want to surrender all. Being holy is about living a certain way, not to rules. Although if that's the lens you want to look at it through, then it's going to be a rule. You've heard me talk about it's not a rule that if I want to be married to Claire, I won't sleep around. Yet we live in a time, I was speaking to somebody outside of the church, because you'll all start thinking who it could be, whose husband is saying, I don't need to be faithful to you in that way because it's simply sex. It doesn't matter. In fact, he might even say, it's a rule if you're going to keep me to only being with you. It's only sex. We are living in a time when the morals of the society are shifting that much that it doesn't mean so much. And actually, what we would agree is not a rule. The world is now saying, that's just a rule. That's just a limitation. We can be freer in our relationships. We don't need to live by that rule. It's only a rule when you see it through that lens. I want to live a certain way to be in a relationship with Claire. I want to live a certain way to be in a relationship with Jesus. Itching ears, is that a bit small? Yes, it is. This is interesting. 2 Timothy 4, 1-5, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Listen to this, this is key. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill the ministry. We live in a time when we have complete access to whatever opinion we want. There can be hundreds of sermons going on, thousands around the globe on Sunday the 9th of July, and I can find most of them. Don't like anything I've said this morning? You can go and find someone who will say, it's not right. That's not the Greek. That's not how it should sound. Do you know what I say? Is that teachers will receive a stricter judgment. Not if I teach bad, not what I teach. I simply receive a stricter judgment for being a teacher of the Word of God. It should and it does make the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. And woe to those teachers that lead people astray. Woe. Woe. How do we have itching ears? I mean, gosh, I really enjoy going on to the Christian camp I go to. It's the first year we haven't gone in 4 or 5 years. 15,000 people went last year. Some will say it wasn't that much. There was an awful lot. Hundreds of seminars a day. Well, what do I fancy? What do I like? I pick what I like. I pick where I'm at because that's what I like. Do you know, when I only focus on the things that I like, I grow uneven in Christ. I'm going through the whole Bible in a year. It'll take me 16 months, but I'm going through the whole Bible in a year. And I'm reading things I've not read for a long time. I thought, Ben, it's not good. And I remember conversations I've had with some of you. I'm thinking, we can't have read this soon. We can't have read this recently. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been talking this way. We grow out of shape. We focus on the things. Back in May, we went away for Claire's birthday. We went camping on the Saturday. We had a load of people come.
And he normally sits over. He's not here. And after Chris Hadfield had gone, he sent me a talk through by his favourite speaker. And I clicked on it because I got up early. We're at Kingsbury Walked Park, and I went walking around. It was a beautiful day. The birds are singing. I just felt close to God. And I clicked through, and it went through to YouTube. And there was nothing wrong with the title that he sent me through. But down the side were the other sermons this guy had spoken about. And there was one that really interested me. In fact, you could say it was my thing. And I listened to that instead. Was there anything wrong with it? No. But I went to what I liked. I went to what I liked. When we only listen to what we like, we grow uneven. We grow uneven. God wants us to grow fully. I surrender all. That means coming back to the point that was probably now more than early on. When I don't like what's in this book, I read it anyway. I say, Lord, I don't understand. Man, there's this one scripture where the Israelites come to Jesus, come to God and say, shall we get this tribe? I mean, it was a tribe of Benjamin who were doing some terrible things. He says, yes, go and you'll get them. 20,000 of the Israelites are killed. I mean, and don't forget, there was a seer that told them that. So they go back again. Lord, what happened? It didn't work. Shall we go and kill the tribe of Benjamin? They're doing terrible things. Yes, go. 20,000 of them again die. I mean, I don't understand it. The third time, 40,000 men have now died when God has said go. I struggle with it. I may struggle with that all my life. It's there. Lord, I don't understand you. I don't understand how you can do it, but I know in the majesty of who you are, you know what you're doing. And when I don't like it, you know what you're doing. The danger with itching is you can find somebody telling you whatever you want. You really can. Am I saying that's what you're doing? Am I saying by listening to lots of different podcasts, that's what you're doing? But it's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we struggle with what's said from people we know, yet we'll listen and not struggle when we listen to somebody who tickles our ears and we don't know them. We've maybe seen their highlight reel through their Facebook pages or through the books they've written. We go with more people that we don't know than people we do know. The problem is it happens all too easily. Don't be fooled. No one in this room would seek to have itching ears. I think I'm going to have itching ears, you know. We don't want itching ears, do we? Okay. We don't want itching ears, do we? Itching ears, he says, I just want to hear what I want to hear. I want to keep with that good feeling of actually God, giving my all to God. I just love it. I just love that feeling and I want to stay there. I don't want it to get bitter in my stomach. I breathed in there. Bitter in my stomach and work it out. So I'm going to keep in that moment when it was sweet, when it felt good, because how I feel is really important because I'm a lover of self. Do you know, I was doing some study for a parenting course and I looked at boundaries with children and I read an article that I then couldn't find this morning that basically said, since there's been a focus on feelings in bringing up children, anxiety in children has risen. I won't give you the stats, I can't remember it, but exponentially. When a focus on how you feel only in children, there's proven that anxiety issues in children have gone through the roof, as opposed to focusing on behavior. Oh, right, so we should just hit the kids then. No, see, it's behavior and how I feel. But when we only look on how I feel, we get itching ears, I think, because I don't know, I don't want this bitter feeling in my stomach. It's easy to fall into these traps, and people can make God's word say anything they want to. The trouble is we're in danger of having itching ears. In the context that Paul is talking to Timothy, I've already done it, does anybody want itching ears? I don't. I really want to give my all to God. I don't want to be deceived. Who's being deceived? It's metaphorical. We kind of don't know. Am I there? Having a form of godliness. The commentator David Guzak wrote this: in our self-obsessed world, people feel very free to have a salad bar religion. They pick and choose what they want. They feel free to be very spiritual, but sense no obligation to be biblical. always learning, this is a bit further on in the scripture, and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. He goes on and says, the spirit of the last days has a certain intelligence about it. The high priests of the spirit of the last days know how to make things work and how to lead us away by various lusts. But for all their skill, for all their marketing brilliance and knowledge, they never go to the truth. Some of us, we're always seeking, yet we never go to the truth. Indeed, the spirit of the last days has a problem with the idea of true truth. This is David Guzak again, altogether, because it believes that we each are the center of our own universe, and we each create our own truth. According to the spirit of the last days, there is no truth outside of ourselves. So we can learn and learn and learn, but we will never come to God's eternal truth. So I should just simply believe and never work anything out. No, but there's a tension to keep into. Because if you keep going, I need to work it out for myself. I need to be happy and comfortable with myself. Then you're on a path to working out your own truth. And outside of God, you become your own God. I know, I've been here 7.5 years, we don't preach like this every week, but every now and again, it's important. And how can we sing that song unless we're willing for it to get bitter in our stomach as we work it out? So where do we go from here? Will I leave you hanging? What next? Okay, I see this, Ben, but what do we do next? Or I'm not trying to be any of those things, but I have questions. I have questions at the way the church behaves. I have questions. Do you know it's okay to have questions? The spirit and the heart in which you ask them in is so key. And the ability to stay teachable, moldable, and shapeable is absolutely of the utmost importance. I think we've got to have a desire to love God more. Is that it? Is that it? You've taken me down this journey of the last days being difficult and hard and lovers of self and itching ears and all this stuff, and your answer is you've got to love God more? I don't know. I think it's more simple than we perhaps want it to be. Loving God, doing things he likes, and not doing things he doesn't like. It's simples. It really is. So what's really important is that I look at God's word, the book of Revelation, the seven chapters, the seven letters to the churches gives you a really good indication as to what God likes and what God wouldn't like. What is going to be in the letter that God writes to SCF? You know, I love your want to be in unity. I love your heart, your familyness. I love the way you serve, and you're so diverse. What would God say? Because it's loving him, doing the things he likes, and not doing the things he doesn't like. Okay, so how then? I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to have itching ears. I don't want to love self. Can you see how this world, though, will drive us towards that left unchecked? I think it's open prayers. Lord, no agenda, no clever words reminding you of your word. Lord, I want to give my all. I don't want to be caught out. I don't want to be washed away. I don't want to be deceived. You know, Jesus said, will I find faith on the earth when I come back? That should bother us. That should grab us tight. Open prayers. Lord, help me live this life. I read the epistles and I love them because they're young churches grappling with being free from the way they've lived for decades and wanting to understand how on earth they can live this incredible, awesome life. How? Love God more. Whatever you say, Lord. I think we've got to be around people who want to get it right and not who want to be right. We are right just starts war. We've got to surround ourselves with people that want to get it right. Lord, I want to live right. I want to live right. Because sometimes we have different opinions and views as to how we see things. I want to live right. Be around people that want to live right, not people who want to tell you why they are right. I've sorted it. I've got it. I've looked at this. I've researched it for years, and I know it. Let me tell you the answer. It's not a hint. There shouldn't be a hint. Where were we? I'll move this around. Ephesians 5, 3 to 4, not a time to read it out, but Paul says there should not be a hint of sexual immorality in the church. What does it mean for there not to be a hint? There shouldn't be a hint of stuff that's not good. It's not like how close, yeah, but this is what I really like and I really enjoy. How close can I get before it becomes wrong? Keeping on the sexual immorality stuff, you know, as a teenager, confession. How far can I go, youth pastor, with a girl before it becomes wrong? Ben, it's just the wrong question. And it's so bigger than sexual immorality. How far can I just live the way I want to? How far can I get where I want to go? How far can I spend the money I want to spend? How far can I go before it comes wrong? It's not the right question. Where do we go? Being church. Being in church. Oh, you would say that. It's bums on seats. We've got to be around one another. You know why we're so diverse? We need different people in church. I love the fact that we're different. It makes it really harder to get things done. I wish you'd just all agree with me. It would be really easy. And man, we would go somewhere. I don't know where, but we would go somewhere. I mean this. I know there's group dynamics. And we can go to where we think we should serve right and there's a group of people. But I think it's challenging to make relationships on a Sunday. So where do we really make those deeper relationships? Actually, in a home group, in that small group environment. And don't too much check out who's in the home group before you decide to go. Because you need people that don't see things the same way as you, but are willing to get it right. Are willing to get it right. But I just want to be around people that think like me. I tell you something, that would be a great place. I want to be around people who think like me. It's just not church. Be church. Be in church. We can't do it alone. I speak to some people and I ask who's around you and there's no one. And in the best way, you want to live a right life, but you're working it out by yourself. And you choose and pick when I interact with somebody else because actually I need help, so you're the expert, I'll go to you. It's transactional. It's not relational. But that's another sermon. Be in church. Be the church. Open prayers. Lord, what is it? People who want to get it right, stay away from any whiff of wrong teaching, of sin. Get in a church family. Should we pray?